Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu. وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كم من فئة قليلة غلبت فئة كثيرة بإذن الله والله مع الصابرين Sadaqallahul Azim. Subhanak la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Maulaya salli wa sallim daiman abada ala habibika khairil khalqi kullihim. Honorable and respected and beloved brothers and elders in Islam, if we as an ummah have been gripped by one fear, is the fear of what the world called the superpowers. We have this preconceived notion, this mindset, that they have all the might, they have all the power, they have all the wealth, they have all the military, all the armaments, and we have absolutely nothing, and that creates a great deal of fear in our hearts. In the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu was salam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala depicts a very similar situation. Bani Israel were enslaved by Fir'aun for the period of about 4 centuries, 400 years, roughly 7 or 8 generations. The people that were freed with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu was salam, 7 generations going up, was enslavement by Fir'aun and the tyranny of Fir'aun. On the one hand, it was the tyranny of Fir'aun, the persecutions, the killing of the boys and all of that. And on the other hand, the mindset that now set into the hearts and the minds of the Bani Israel, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. I am your mighty Rabb. And that now gripped the hearts of the Banu Israel, that actually showed out. When Musa alayhi salatu was salam was commanded to take the Bani Israel and to emancipate them from the clutches of Fir'aun, and when they came to the waters, and now they realize that behind them is the army of Fir'aun, they began to wonder, what is Musa alayhi salam going to do? Inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. Musa alayhi salatu wassalam is giving a guarantee that my Rabb Allah Ta'ala is with me. This is that community that had seen that asa, the staff of Musa alayhi salam, strike a rock, and from that rock water gushed out. They had seen this miracle, but yet they doubted that same asa that will strike the waters and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will open the pathway for them to be emancipated. What was it? It was that grip of fear, that here behind us is a superpower. What is one asa, one stick of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam? So if they were gripped with this fear of tyranny, this fear of a superpower, their minds were now enslaved to that. Friends, we as an ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam need to come out of that. How are we going to come out of that? Is that we need to build our iman,
We need to build our yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That Allah that commanded our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his house was surrounded by the bloodthirsty Quraysh of Makkah, they had their weaponaries, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala commands Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to leave his home. That command comes at a time when the house is already surrounded. Whatever the weapons of those days be, they had it all. And what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala commands our Nabi Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do? Merely pick up the earth, the sand of the earth, the dust on the earth, and throw it into their direction, and carry on. Yaqeen, iman, no questions asked. What is this dust going to do against the weapons and the people that have surrounded the house? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam merely fulfills the command of Allah, and Allah ta'ala commanded him that he must recite, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدَّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدَّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبَصِرُونَ. And what happens? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is freed. He walks away. These people don't even know Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had left his home. Right till the morning, they remain around the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and eventually when they get into the house, who do they find? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu on the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O Ali, you remain behind and you distribute the amanat that is in my hands. You know, as a matter of fact, many years thereafter, during the Khilafat of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the Jami Masjid of Kufa, one person asked him, Amirul Mu'mineen, what was the condition of your heart that night? You are in the bed of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is sought after. Around the house, a bloodthirsty Quraysh, armed tooth and nail, waiting for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come out, and if he does not emerge, then they are going to storm into the house. How did you spend that night? He said to them, Allah is my witness, that was the best night of my whole life. O Amirul Mu'mineen, how could that be? What is the rationale? He said, because Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ali, after you have distributed the amanat, I will meet you in Medina. Yaqeen, in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will meet you in Medina was sufficient for me to know Allah will spare me to see the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once again in Medina Tayyiba. So we're speaking about this Bani Israel, that they couldn't come to terms with this, gripped with the fear of today what the world will call a superpower, to the extent that when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had struck the waters and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had opened the waters for the groupings of the Banu Israel to pass. And as they passed through and they came to the other side, and they watched behind, the pathways are still opened. And Fir'aun and his army on horses, and now they go in. And they watch with their own eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused the waters to flow. But they say to Musa alayhi salam, is Fir'aun still alive? They still were gripped with the fear of Fir'aun. Brothers, again and again we are reminded, we need to come out, free ourselves from the slavery of the fear of what people may term as superpowers. Get that iman and yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But this was a Bani Israel of 400 years of slavery. That was a mindset. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala commanded the waters to throw out the body of Fir'aun. And it was only then and there that they realized that that one superpower that said, Ana Rabbukumul A'la, is now no more. 400 years of tyranny, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brought to an end in 1 second. How many thousands of children had died? How many thousands of children were slain? How many women were enslaved? How many men were enslaved? All of that comes to an end in 1 split second. Now again, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to go to Al-Quds and to conquer the city of Jerusalem and to conquer Al-Aqsa, again the Banu Israel hesitated, they refused. They did not go ahead. 40 years Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had kept them in the Wadi Tih in wandering. And after that Musa alayhi salam had passed on, Harun alayhi salam had passed on, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had made Yusha bin Nun alayhi salatu wassalam the Nabi of Allah after Musa alayhi salam. He was in the time of Musa alayhi salam an attendant, a khadim of Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. He now gets nubuwat. And after a 40-year period, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now commands Yusha bin Nun to go forth and to liberate Al-Aqsa. 40 years had to pass. The mindset had to change. Now the Bani Israel were prepared, and they, under the banner of this Nabi of Allah, Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun alayhi salatu wassalam, actually it was Yusha bin Nun bin Ifrahim bin Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Yusuf alayhi salam had a son Ifrahim. He had a son who was by the name of Nun, and this was the son of Nun, Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam, who accompanied Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, and of course Allah ta'ala had bestowed upon him nubuwat. A very amazing incident with regards to the fatah and the conquest of Al-Aqsa in the time of Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun alayhi salatu wassalam is that as he proceeded towards Al-Quds and he fought his way, and when he came to the gates of Al-Quds, it was a Friday, and Friday continued and fierce battling. Remember, the Amalekite were a very strong nation, and Yusha alayhi salatu wassalam together with the Banu Israel carried on fighting. And now as they are penetrating the ranks of the Amaliki people, the sun is beginning to set. Look at this Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's looking at the sunset. Although Sabbath was the day of the Yahud, Sabbath was the day of the Bani Israel, the Saturday. But Yusha bin Nun in his heart, he makes a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O my Allah, cause it and make it such that I'm able to perform 2 rakats of salah before the sunset of Friday. The sun continues to set. Yusha bin Nun penetrates, and as he comes to Al-Aqsa, the sun sets, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala miraculously brings the sun once again above the horizon, so that Yusha bin Nun alayhi salatu wassalam and his people were allowed to perform the 2 rakats of salat in Al-Aqsa as per the Friday, although it was not the Sabbath. The Sabbath was the Saturday. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had given victory to the Bani Israel when that mindset had changed. When they freed themselves from the slavery of their own minds. Now brothers and friends, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had showed this throughout the history. When we look at the hadith of our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, just 1 or 2 minutes on this. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses the Sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says to the Sahaba, "Oh my Sahaba, at the end of time will come a group of people, there will be a small band. The similarity to you is that they will love Shahada, they will love martyrdom like how you love martyrdom. In one hadith, they are unique like how you are unique in your uniqueness for your desire to give your life for Shahada." And that will be the band and the group of people that will join with Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam against the army of Dajjal. Brothers and friends, after 9/11, much of our discussions had been in other directions, and there is one aspect that we have forgotten to address ourselves, and that is to address ourselves on the desire of Shahada. Understand that this is what elated and brought joy to the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the blood of a believer lies hidayat. In the blood of the believer lies the dominance of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In one hadith that is frightening, and in another hadith that is full of hope. In the hadith that gives us that imani jerk is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, "Man lam yaghzu," that person who has never emerged in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. "Walam yuhaddith bihi nafsahu," and the second is he hasn't gone out and he hasn't addressed himself with regards to shahadat, with regards to jihad fi sabilillah, going out in the path of Allah. In other words, he does not have aspiration for jihad fi sabilillah. Then mata ala shu'batin min an-nifaq aw kama qal, then that person, wherever he dies, however he dies, he has died on one branch of nifaq and hypocrisy. Take the opposite meaning, that a sign and a token of our iman, a sign of our iman in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a sign of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that we create within our hearts the desire to give our lives for the sake of Allah. Then we find a hadith full of hope, that that person who asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for shahada, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he actually made dua, "Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi baladi rasulihi, fi baladi rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, grant me shahada in the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." So one is that perhaps our hearts may not be ready. We still have a lot of things to accomplish in this world. The aspirations may not meet the demands, but somewhat would our tongues, let us start making that dua, and then see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will begin to change our mindset. We will free ourselves from the slavery of this material world. You know, there's the story of that one woman, late advanced in age, and she had the desire of going for Hajj, and she had a desire of leaving this world in her Hajj, either of the Harams, Makkah or Medina. And she carried on making this dua, and suddenly, at that advanced age, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepts her labbaik, and now she is going on this journey for Hajj. And as she is going to sleep on the boat one night, she remembers this dua that she made, that Allah must give her shahadat, Allah must give her maut in the Haramain Sharifain. Now she gets up and she makes dua, "Allah, leave it for some other time, some other journey, not this journey." So this shouldn't be our priorities, but this should be an aspiration in our hearts, that we go on seeking from Allah and hoping that our mindset changes, that iman and that enthusiasm comes within us. Then we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that person that asks, that enthusiasm is there, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will grant that person the highest degree, the highest stage of martyrdom, even if he dies on his bed. What Allah ta'ala wants us to show is the aspiration. Allah ta'ala wants us to ask from Allah Rabbul Izzat. So that is one other aspect with regards to whatever is happening in Gaza, in Palestine. And brothers, the last part of it is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam once addressed the Muhajirun, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam spoke to them with regards to certain illnesses, certain sins, and the repercussions of those sins. The one Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he made dua for the Muhajirun, that may you not see that era. And which era? When fawahish, promiscuity, immodesty becomes rife and open in a community. All the ulama are agreed that in the times of the past, there were incidents of zina, there were incidents of adultery and fornication, but it was not done openly. Now this doesn't give us a license to do it in secrecy. But then when man loses all shame, and man loses all morals and character, then one will do all of this in the very open. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, then you will become victim of such illnesses, plagues, sicknesses that was unheard of before. We see it, we know about it, we're very acquainted with it. The second Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, is that when this ummah engages and indulges in short weight and short measure, in other words, becoming disobedient, becoming dishonest insofar as our business dealings are concerned, what will be the natural repercussion of that? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there will be widespread fitnas, difficulties, corruptions that will befall the ummah. And then third, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when this ummah begins to withhold zakat, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will withhold the rains that will come down. Famine will become widespread and there will be shortages of food. And then the fourth, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, is that when this ummah breaks the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers, remember that we have a covenant and a pledge with Allah. And what is that covenant and pledge with Allah? La ilaha illallah. That we have pledged to Allah that not only we have brought iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I accept وَقَبِلْتُ جَمِيعَ أَحْكَامِهِ, I accept each and every ahkam, each and every hukam of Allah, each and every law of Allah. Not just accept it by way of iman, but accept it by way of our practice. In short, when we deviate from this, we will find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bring about rulers upon us that will not have mercy upon us, and at the same time they will grasp, they will snatch away your property, they will snatch away your goods, your belongings. Now brothers, if we are seeing all of this happening, the Mubarak hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us the reason. And in conclusion, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahumullah narrates that a person by the name of Jabir, this Jabir, at the time of the conquest of a particular city, people were obviously happy that the city has been conquered. It had taken many days, the besiege, and now Allah Ta'ala has given us victory. But one Sahabi, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, was sad, grieved and crying. When somebody came to him and asked him, what makes you cry on such a momentous occasion? He says, these people were also obedient to Allah. And Allah had given them victory over the city. But no sooner had they become disobedient to Allah Rabbul Izzat, Allah Ta'ala snatched it away from their hands, and Allah has given it into our hands. And it will only remain in our hands until and unless we remain obedient to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. May Allah Ta'ala grant victory to the mujahideen. May Allah Ta'ala change the conditions of the ummah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, alleviate all the challenges, and Allah Ta'ala make his deen once again dominant. Those that gave their lives for the sake of this deen, may Allah Ta'ala accept their shahadat, and in lieu of that, may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala grant hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.